Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Right, start the show.
Never get old, I love it. Let's kick us off, here we go.
Yep, let's get it.
Oh, yeah. Talking sports with the 12th man, we are kicking it off as we always do. What can we say, fellas? Of course, welcome. Today is November the 30th. Man, time is flying. We're almost in the month of December, but we are officially talking sports for the 12th man. If you didn't know, I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. JQ Jenkins, as well as Robert Ford. They are not ready to quite retire just yet, so let's get a quick introduction for them. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. My Buckeyes beat that team up north, and my Bengals redeemed themselves against St. Louis. Having an awesome football weekend.
Hey, I'm glad somebody's having an awesome football weekend. Me and Rob, we can't say too much. But Robert Ford, how are you doing, sir? Can I kind of check with you?
Our team's sucking up the joint. But
We are
but
trying.
But it's all
man.
Good,
we are
man.
Trying.
Life is good. We'll make it do what it do. Keep moving.
Life is fantastic, as Robert said.
And
so,
no, I'm not ready to retire. I got another 1,000-some years left of doing talking sports.
Okay, Moses.
You know, Methuselah and Enoch over here. But fellas,
I'm going to have the long beard and everything else, boy. Still talking sports.
Wow. You went deep into the Old Testament there, Dre.
Robert going to have the beard. I tell you, back in the day, we didn't have no sports talk radio. No, it's all good. let's kind of kick it out, fellas. We got a lot of things to talk about. So without further ado, let's kind of give the numbers for those who want to call into the show. As always, the number to call, 424-243-9519. That is the main call-in number. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, Facebook is a huge friend of ours. We always have to post funny things, good pictures, anything we have going on that's been happening in the sports world. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports or Talking Sports 12 Men, you will find us in that venue as well. So, guys, let's kind of kick it off. Let's talk about some sports news. Adrian Peterson, I think I've seen enough of him this weekend, but he actually moves past O.J. Simpson and Corey Dillon on the NFL all-time rushing list. How big is this, JQ? What do you think about this move? It's Hall of Fame. I mean, is he kind of going to go in the Hall of Fame in spite of what happened the past couple of seasons here? But tell us about your thoughts about this move.
I mean, it's amazing, given everything that he's been through and all the mileage that he has on those legs. Even though he got, last year pretty much off to rejuvenate himself, I mean, he pretty much has been that Minnesota offense for so long now, and we got to see it up close and personal this past week here in Atlanta. I think he's headed for maybe his third rushing title, but, coming off a year where he had to sit out last year and then the ACL and MCL injuries a couple of years back, I mean, it just speaks to his freakish ability and his hard work and dedication. And let's not forget that he's now 30, and, of course, that's supposed to be the age where running backs fall off a cliff, and he doesn't seem to be showing any signs of slowing down. So you got to take your hats off to Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's just a monster.
Yeah, Rob, what do you think about this too, sir?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, it's the thing that impresses me about him is, as the game goes along, he gets stronger. And, as JQ mentioned, he's had the major injuries. A lot of times what you've been seeing here in the last 10 to 20 years, running backs start to wear down in their late 20s, but we haven't seen that out of him. I know he had the year where, he kind of got reprimanded and had a chance to, have some, rest, on his legs, if you will. But still, at his age, after the injuries that he's had, and still be able to do this pretty effectively, in my opinion, is pretty amazing. So congrats to him and moving into 18th place on the NFL's all-time rushing list. And I'm sure he's going to continue to climb that ladder at the way he's running the football right now.
Yeah, good call, guys. And as you mentioned, I think, JQ, you said it, and Rob, as you mentioned too as well, you know, most guys are kind of like on the downcline or going on the decline, if you will. But I think he's just showing you how freakish athletic he is, and he recovered extremely quick from that injury. I'm not going to say everyone's going to have that capability. So just a kind of a testament to him, as you said, Rob. And I think the year off did kind of help him out. So that was another situation too. So, you know, he's going to keep on trucking. We'll see how his career is going to end for sure. And like I said, JQ, we saw enough of him this weekend, so I'm kind of like happy that he's gone. But, you know, enough kudos to this joker, and let's see how it plays out. Robert Ford, let's kind of set the NFL playoff picture. I know with Seattle winning, it's kind of going to make some moves as far as a wild card and kind of what's happening now in the playoff picture right now. And JQ, man, good call on Denver, man. Man, you got us on that one, man. I mean, even though Brock Osweiler got a little lucky near the end, but, you know, good call, good game. That's all
I'll take it.
NFL playoff picture. Go ahead. You'll take it. You'll take it.
Definitely, that was a good call. Man, I went to sleep 21-7 New England thinking it was going to be a cakewalk. I wake up and see the surprise and upset. And first, JQ was the first person I thought about when I saw that score. Like, wow, he called that one. But getting the playoff picture here, we've got a few changes from last week in the AFC. Start off with the AFC. New England still with the loss. They're still the number one seed in the NFC. I'm sorry, the AFC at 10-1. JQ, Cincinnati Bengals holding down the number two spot at 9-2, bouncing back. With a win this week. Number three, the Broncos with the big win at home last night in overtime. Holding on to number three spot. Indy at 6-5 is the four seed. Matt Hasselbeck hasn't lost a game this season at 40 years old as a starting quarterback for Indy. So that's pretty surprising. Kansas City Chiefs on a five-game winning streak right now. The number five seed, they're 6-5. And arguably playing as good as anybody in the league right now, the way they're playing football on both sides of the football, as well as special teams for the Chiefs. Houston moved into the number six spot at 6-5. They've won four in a row now as well, so they're playing phenomenal defense here. You kind of saw the Texans' tide started to turn early this season when you saw Miami go up on them like 41-42-0, and the Texans came storming back and got, you know, cut the lead down to 40-something to 30, if you guys recall that game. But they wound up still losing that game, but they haven't lost since. And that just seems that something just turned for that team in the second half of that game. And they've been playing good football, especially defensively, for the Houston Texans. So they're moved into the number six spot in the AFC at 6-5. If you look at the NFC, Carolina still holding it down, the only undefeated team left at 11-0. Arizona, the number two team, at 9-2, Minnesota 3 at 8-3, and the Washington Redskins moving to the number four seed as first place in the NFC East. Yes, at 5-6. Yeah, 5-6.
NFC East.
yeah, exactly.
That's
NFC East.
Right.
Green Bay still holding the number five spot at 7-4, and Seattle moves into the sixth spot at 6-5. A couple of teams, you know, just on the outside looking in the AFC, the Jets and the Steelers are both 6-5, so they're still right there knocking on the door. And the Falcons, even though they've lost four in a row, they're still at 6-5, just on the outside looking in the NFC as well.
Unbelievable. JQ, is there anything you want to add to that statement as well? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and I think he did a fabulous job setting the table. And I like to look at in the hunt picture of it, but also in the AFC, I think it's going to be incredibly important to get one of those two byes, because you're looking at a red-hot Texans team there in the sixth seed, and they may jump to close to the fourth seed, but right now in the sixth seed, and then you got the Chiefs in the fifth seed, and they're red-hot. So, I mean, if they continue to play like that, you don't want to really be that third and fourth seed and have to play them in that first round, even though you're playing at home, because you're getting a red-hot team. And then you got also a tough Jets and Steelers team on the outside looking in, and they probably could get back into that fifth and sixth seed discussion. So I think it's important for the Patriots, the Bengals, and the Broncos. Two of those teams are going to get those two byes, and I think that's going to be paramount to let, you know, some of those teams beat up each other in that first round, because the AFC is shaping up to be an absolute just slugfest. And the NFC, not so much. We talked about the Redskins. That's just a joke of a conference right now. The Falcons trying to hang in, but, you know, you got a host of teams sitting there at 5-6 with the Bucs, the Giants, and the Bears. But I still don't think it's as big a deal in the NFC to get the top two seeds, even though you want it, as it is in the AFC, just given the way those teams in the 5-6 spots are playing right now.
Yeah, those are all good points. But, you know, it may as well be the same case in the NFC, too, when you look at playoff-tested teams in Green Bay and Seattle right now in the 5-6. So you can really think about those teams as being teams that you probably don't want to face in the first round as well. Aaron Rodgers can get hot at any time. And Seattle, of course, is going to the last two Super Bowls. And those are your two teams that played in the NFC Championship game last year. So you can almost make the same case and the same argument that you presented with the AFC. I think you can almost make the same argument in the NFC if Green Bay and Seattle stays in those positions at 5-6, too.
That's
so,
a good point.
You know, Carolina's going to be the number one seed. I think that's safe to say. But that number two seed with Arizona and Minnesota, I think that could be, you know, quite a battle. And Green Bay is still not out of the water yet for possibly moving all the way up to a two spot, too. So that could be an interesting battle to try to get that two seed in the NFC, too. That could be very important.
I would agree with that. I just don't think that the Packers and the Seahawks are playing as well right now. And you're right, they have all the experience and they can get on the road, but right now they're not playing as well as the Chiefs and the Chiefs and the Texans. And the Packers, to me, I don't know what's really happening.
Absolutely.
They're so up and down and they can't get it moving. And I mean, Ben Roethlisberger threw for 450-something yards on that Seahawks defense in Seattle, which is just unheard of. So you're absolutely right in terms of playoff experience, but just the way they're playing right now, you know, I can see them both getting knocked off. But the way J.J. Watt is playing for the Texans right now, he's just on another level. And Drew Brees and the Saints had no answer for him. So those two would worry me as an AFC person, of course, being from Cincinnati. But you're absolutely right. I don't want to discard and take away from what the Seahawks and the Packers can present in the playoffs in that 5th and 6th seed if it stays that way.
Man, nobody asked you to bring up the Saints in that thing, man. Come on, man.
Sorry.
But to be honest with you, yeah, the Saints were trying to put three guys to block J.J. Watt, and they couldn't block him. So, I mean, he was whipping the Saints offensive line.
Boy. The parity, guys, has been amazing to see. NFC, AFC. AFC's been pretty consistent, too, but the NFC's had a couple moments, too. But, you know. Speaking of that, and I let you guys kind of have your moment, guys, and J.J. Watt was freaking a beast, Robert. I was watching it. I was just amazed, man. But they gave him a little light, man, and who would have thought that, you know, the team that got whipped up by the Falcons are kind of turning it around too, man. But we'll see what's going to happen here, man. And, yeah, I would have thought that Bill O'Brien would have been dead coach walking, man. But we'll see how that plays out, as we always like to say. Who hit
we
turn?
Thought that
yeah,
early in the
top.
Season, man. If you go back early in the season, the Texans were looking horrible. And Romeo Crennel has turned that defensive around. I mean, they're playing phenomenal on that side of the football, especially right now.
Amazing turnaround. All right, guys. Speaking of the AFC, the Patriots actually avoid a major injury to Rob Gronkowski. Whenever he got carted off the field, you thought it was something really, really majorly serious. Found out that he only had, strained his knee or whatnot. I think he had some. I'm looking at kind of no tears, just like a bone bruise, as you said, JQ. So this is a huge kind of obviously a great news for the Patriots too. I don't even talk about that, JQ. You kind of were talking about that. So go ahead, sir. Can you take this one?
Yeah, I mean they dodged a major bullet because without Gronkowski and without Edelman, I think that they are in danger of dropping out of those top two seeds. And they still have some work to do because from what I've been reading, he's still probably going to miss a couple of weeks, but he won't be season ending like we all thought the way he went down. And anytime you see the cart come out for a player, you just assume the worst. So that's a major scare that the Patriots avoided. And if they can kind of navigate the waters, but they got to play Houston too. They're coming up and they're playing for that fabulous. And without Gronkowski, that could be a second loss. And all of these losses are going to be paramount in this AFC with the way the Bengals and the resurgent Broncos with Osweiler is playing. So we got to keep an eye on that. But still, you know, they went from potentially going to a 3 or 4 seed, really, with him being gone to being able to hang in there in the top two seeds if he's only going to miss 2 weeks.
So, Rob Ford, you know, it seems like the Patriots are always figuring out something. Always got like an ace in the hole. You can call it cheating. I don't know what we want to call it. Is this enough, Rob? You think the Patriots have still overcome this injury to Rob Gronkowski? Rob?
Well, right now, you know, all the prognosis are going to, he's going to be out at least two games, possibly more. I think it's a safe bet to say he will be back for the playoffs. But as we just talked about here, I mean, obviously, you know, you want that one or two seed in the AFC, and it's pretty close up there near the top of the conference with New England, Cincinnati, and Denver all up on each other's heels there. And so, I mean, this could be a big blow to that offense, not having those weapons on the perimeter. Typically, Bill Belichick is a plug-and-play kind of guy, but somehow he just finds a way to keep winning. And so it's going to be interesting to see if they can hold on here, you know, at with one of those one or two seeds in the NFC. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, so right now we had a guy that's avoiding a serious injury. Then you actually got a guy that did get a serious injury, and the Arizona Cardinals losing Chris Johnson. He's got a broken tibia. I guess the question is now that we're not really quite sure how long he's going to be out. Does this kind of change the momentum for the Cardinals, JQ, or are they going to be able to overcome this, or is this kind of like kind of affect them for sure?
You know, and I think for them, this is something that they can overcome because the Cardinals are blessed to have one of the deepest backfields in the NFL. And let's not leave out that Ellison also has a turf toe injury, so he's probably going to be gone for a couple of weeks as well. But David Johnson, I think, has looked really well when he has the opportunity to get some extended playing time, but he just can't because he's got Ellington and Chris Johnson in front of him. So I don't think the drop-off is as bad for them going to David Johnson for a couple of games, and probably 3 to 4 because turf toe is pretty serious, and a fractured tibia, I mean, say no more about that, they're more able to overcome that than New England going from Gronkowski to Scott Chandler. That's a deeper drop-off to me than it is for Arizona. So I think Arizona can still keep pace because Bruce Arians still has Carson Palmer. He still has the wide receivers, and he likes to bomb the ball. And David Johnson has looked really good in the time he's gotten. So I think they can maintain it, that two seed behind the Panthers in the NFC.
Wow. So I kind of agree certain a little bit with you, JQ. I definitely think that Johnson made a huge impact to that squad. Man, he was on pace to become the first 1,000-yard rusher since what, Beanie Wells in 2011, something crazy like that. Rob, I mean, do you think what JQ was saying, Rob, do you think this is going to definitely affect the Cardinals?
Oh, I agree with them. If we go back to our last show right before the NFL season started, David Johnson was a guy I was very high on, and I thought he would have gotten more carries at this point in the season. I think he's got very good speed, very good explosiveness. And if he gets the ball more often, I think he might even be an upgrade over the guys that would get more playing time, Chris Johnson and Ellington. So I don't think this is going to be a drop-off for the Arizona Cardinals. I think they'll be right there in the mix. I still think if there's any team in the NFC that's capable of knocking off Carolina in the playoffs, the Cardinals seem to be the team that's most complete that's capable of knocking off Carolina.
I disagree with both you guys, man. I think that – no, good call. No, that's a good call. The only thing I was going to say, dude, I definitely – you know, David Johnson was – he's definitely kind of doing his thing. What an impact rookie. I am actually pleasantly surprised about Chris Johnson, though, because everyone kind of thought he was kind of on, you know, on the way out. But he's, you know, really played really well. So you hope these guys can step up. We'll see how it plays out. Ellington, and they had kind of like – enough guys to kind of shoulder the load. So we'll see what's going to happen. I agree with you, Rob. I think that the Cardinals were one of the teams that actually could challenge Carolina, but this may kind of impact them. So we'll see what happens if Chris Johnson can definitely come back. Gentlemen, we're kind of about halfway through the show here. Actually, about 10, we've got 11 minutes left. A lot of things to talk about. Let's talk about the Eagles and Chip Kelly trying to pull a Bobby Petrino and deny that he met with a couple of people here with USC. What are you hearing about this story, Rob?
Well, you know, all sources indicate that he never met with USC, and it sounds as though USC never had an interest in him. Obviously, I know this was one of our topics a little bit later, but I guess we're talking about USC. They decided to go ahead and keep Helton as a head coach. That was somewhat surprising. I know USC has been playing very well here in the last few weeks. They're playing in the Pac-12 championship game against Stanford this weekend. So Helton has done a phenomenal job in the interim role. and USC went ahead and decided to make him the head coach. I thought they were going to try to look for, you know, a bigger name to come in there, the coach at USC, but that's somewhat surprising. But getting back to Chip Kelly here, I don't expect him to be back with the Eagles at the end of the season. I think the Eagles organization is worn tired of him. I think the fans have worn tired of him, and I think Chip Kelly is worn tired of the Eagles. So I think there's a couple of options for Chip Kelly. I could see him possibly being traded to the Tennessee Titans as the head coach and then reuniting with Mariota in Tennessee. And also, there's a couple of options in college, too. I think you could possibly look at Missouri, Georgia, and South Carolina, all possibly want to talk to him as well. So, I mean, I look for him to possibly land at one of those four places for Chip Kelly.
JQ, on you, sir.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I'm not really mad at USC. It was a little bit surprising, but if you saw the video of the players reacting when they found out that Helton was being named the permanent coach, they just went nuts. And that let me know how big of an impact he's had and basically steadying that ship. When your coach gets fired for being basically an alcoholic and being drunk at games and practice, you know, that season can go south real fast. And they were able to keep that in place. So I will give my hat off to them. And my hat off to the AD Hackett for, you know, not being seduced into getting a big name and going with something that was working and see if it plays out and works out for them. Because, I mean, they could still win the Pac-12. And, I mean, nobody would have thought that when they fired Sarkisian. As far as Chip Kelly, I agree with what Rob said, but sometimes winning cures all ills. And like we said, they play in that terrible division. They're just a game out of first place. I mean, they can't get in as a wild card, but they're just a game out of first place. If he messes around and they win that division, I don't know if he goes anywhere. But, you know, the other scenarios that he laid out, I can see happening if they do falter and not win the NFC East.
Yeah. They've looked terrible here in the last few weeks. So it was like, wow, what happened? But, yeah, anything can turn around in that division, you're right.
Yeah, he's made a lot of questionable decisions, fellas, man, so we'll see about that. I think there's too many college football openings, as Rob mentioned, that I don't think he's going to go back to the – we'll have to see what happens. I think he's going to make the Eagles fire him, but, that's another situation we got to keep a huge eye on. All right, gentlemen, the Kansas City Chiefs have won 5 straight games without Jamaal Charles. Man, what is going on? Rob, what's the deal with this, sir?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, Sarkandrick West came in and did a phenomenal job. He goes out this past weekend. Spencer Ware, LSU kid, is actually from Cincinnati, your neck of the woods, JQ.
Yes, sir.
Spencer Ware came in and played phenomenal this past Sunday for the Chiefs. So, obviously, a couple of things is happening here. Andy Reid is doing a phenomenal job. Their offensive line has been phenomenal this season. They still don't have the great weapons on the perimeter. I mean, Travis Kelce has done a tremendous job at the tight end position. But defensively, man, they got a fierce pass rush as well, a solid defense on all layers of their defense, and it's just all coming together for this team. If you really look at this roster, I mean, there's a lot of talent on both sides of the field. And, you know, Alex Smith is not the best quarterback. You know, he gets the job done. He's not phenomenal. And there's two areas when you look at this roster where you have to say they're not great is quarterback and the wide receiver position. But everywhere else, they're pretty stacked.
I'm going to throw it to JQ because JQ, shout out to him about, you know, whenever Travis Kelce was hitting the Quan, man. So right there in JQ's neck. What's up with that? And Jamaal Charles.
Oh,
go ahead. Go ahead, JQ.
Man, that was hilarious. I saw that yesterday watching the Red Zone, and then I saw what Sportsman talked about it when First Take didn't get on it. But, I mean, he was murdering the Quan. I did not know he had that in his arsenal. But, he's from Cleveland, and he went to UC. So, you know, I just had to, you know, give him a fist bump from here. But, you know, again, to everything Rob said, absolutely. Andy Reid has a mold of running back that he likes, and he's finding them. And now Davis hasn't really been everything that he thought it would be, but, you know, Shakarik West and Vance Spencer Ware. And I think, you know, they're not deep at wide receiver, but I like Macklin. And then you have, like we said, you have the aforementioned Kelce being able to move over in the middle of a tight end. So they have just enough weapons to keep them in the ball game when you have that defense that's playing lights out. And getting Eric Berry back from cancer has been a huge boost to that defense. He's a monster, and I'm glad to see him back. And it just goes to Andy Reid's coaching. And he's flying under the radar for Coach of the Year honors, but if they keep this up, you're going to have to seriously consider him because everybody wrote them off when they lost Jamaal Charles and the way that season started. But they played some hard teams. They played Cincinnati. They played New England. They played Denver like three of their first four games. So it's hard to get out to a good start when you have that kind of schedule at the beginning. So, you know, hats off to Andy Reid and Kansas City for staying the course.
Yeah, maybe Colin Kaepernick will send a note to Andy Reid and say, I want to play for you, just really piss off Alex Smith. But, no, we'll see how that plays out for sure, gentlemen. No, I mean, they're just a quarterback, like you said, Rob, away, and if they get, like, another dynamic playmaker, you know, JQ, you hit it right on the head. He has just enough playmakers, solid defense. I mean, one or two pieces, and this squad, man, they'll be right on the cusp again, guys, of hitting the playoffs, man. So, you know, we'll keep we always say keep an eye on that scenario, too. All right, gentlemen, 4 minutes here. Let's kind of knock this off really quickly. Let's talk about some NFL predictions, and we'll get ready to hit into some college football going into the OT portion. Let's talk about some games coming up here, Seattle at Minnesota. I'm going to kick it off with you, JQ. Seattle, man, Russell Wilson came out of his little shell there. Going against the team that we just played, the Falcons. What do you think about this particular matchup, sir?
I'm going to go with Seattle only because I just don't think Minnesota has enough playmaking yet. They're on the cusp of having it, but I think a lot of it also goes with Bridgewater, and he has a steep curve still going, and it's hard to overcome that playing for Seattle. And that defense has taken a step back, but for a young quarterback to beat Seattle, I see them stacking the box and daring Teddy Bridgewater to beat them, and I just don't think they will. I think it's a close game, but I think Seattle wins on the road.
I agree. Rob Ford, what do you think, sir?
I'm going to pick the Vikings at home in this game, in a close game. I like the way they're playing defense, and I think they'll be able to play ball control against Seattle. You saw their defense is a faucet that's leaking right now, and you know, in every level of their defense. I think Minnesota controls the line of scrimmage on both sides of this game, and they win a close one at home.
40 seconds, guys. The Aegis Wonder, Matt Hasselbeck, Colts versus Pittsburgh, JQ.
I hate to say it, but Pittsburgh, because I think they're going to blitz him to high heaven because, like you say, he's 39, he's not mobile. He doesn't have that ability that Russell Wilson was the problem he was presenting Pittsburgh a week ago. I think Pittsburgh wins that game at home because they know they have to keep pace with Cincinnati because they still think they have a shot at the division, which they do mathematically. So I would go with Pittsburgh at home. I think the carpet ride ends this week for Matt Hasselbeck.
Rob Ford.
I agree. I think the Steelers win this game at home, and the Texans will have a shot at moving up to first place, sole possession of first place in that division.
Unbelievable. All right, Rob, 2 minutes. Set the OT portion with your fantasy shout-outs, and we'll get ready to go OT.
OT portion. We're about to get into it, so definitely, unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, but we got a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. College football, we're getting down to the championship games this weekend. Our Final Four is almost set in college football. We might even squeeze in a little NBA and college basketball here in our OT portion. So if you want to hear what we got to say about college football, click on the same link on tomorrow. Write us, tweet us, hit us up on Facebook. And, you know, let us know if you like what we're saying, you dislike what we're saying. Tell us why. Make sure you reach out to us. The only fantasy shout-out we did, since we're still in the midst of fantasy football, I'll just do a fantasy basketball shout-out. The biggest win of the week this past week was the Druth, not the Truth, the Druth, J-R-U-T-H. Aaron out of Bristol, Connecticut, had the biggest win, 8-0 over Madhouse on Madison, and in first place in our fantasy basketball league, Naptown Unibrows, Naptown, Matthew from Indianapolis, 26-13 and one tie. He's holding down the first place spot in our fantasy basketball league. Next week, none of our teams are playing on Monday night, so we're going to be back on Monday night again next week. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We'll have the Final Four and everything all set for college football and, of course, more NFL coverage. Don't miss our show on next Monday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, about 27 seconds, JQ.
Oh, I just got to do it one time because I don't know if anybody heard it last week, so here it goes.
Well, my thing is this. If you're going to be happy with 7-3, 8-3, 9-3 every year, keep Les Miles. If you want to win national championships, compete for national championships on a regular basis, you got to get rid of them. That was classic.
Oh, I love it.
I had
That's
to.
How we end it.
I had to.
You got a move for every move you make. Woo!
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to play this one back myself.
JQ, pull that out. He pulled that out, man. We are officially into the OT portion. How do you follow
hey,
that? How do
that's
you follow
the truth.
That?
LSU will be 9-3 again next season, y'all.
So let's talk about this. I mean, if you would have told me last weekend that Les Miles would have had a job and Mark Richt wouldn't have his, I would have said you're crazy, but Mark Richt is officially out in Georgia. And we're kind of like reeling because we didn't see this, not that we didn't see this coming, but man, yeah, Rob, I'm going to kick it to you. What the French toast, first and foremost. Yeah, thoughts about that and JQ's little statement there near the end.
I like that, JQ.
Hey, I thought,
well,
I
you know, well, you know, here's the deal with the situation with LSU and Georgia here. I think they're very two similar situations here. Both of these states produce top-notch talent right there in their backyard. Both of them get top-notch recruits right there in their backyard. Both of them are so talent-rich when it comes to football. There are other states that try to come in and get players. But for the most part, the best players in both of those states stay home and play for their state schools. Alabama is kicking our, you know what, I don't want to say it on radio, but and
yeah.
They also have another SEC school in the same state in Auburn, and their state does not produce the talent that Georgia or Louisiana produces, but they're still kicking our asses. And that's the problem that I think the problem with. Now, I said this on last week as well. I think Les Miles is a quality man. I think he's a great guy, and he's a good coach. He's not a great coach. His team still are very undisciplined. We still have problems developing quarterbacks. He's still stuck in the 70s with the I formation, the power I. And regardless of who he hires as an offensive coordinator, that's going to be his top play or his top formation. It doesn't matter. And so that's, you know, he's going to win. He's going to go 9-3 at LSU just because of the personnel that he has. But I think the personnel should be winning more championships. I'm not saying we should be beating Alabama on a yearly basis, but we shouldn't be losing to them 5 years in a row.
All right. So.
And the same thing with Mark Richt at Georgia. With the talent that they get in Georgia, they shouldn't be 9-3 every year either.
I agree. So I'm going to let JQ take this, but I'm going to say the description of Les Miles sounds almost exactly like Mark Richt. Nice guy, yada, yada, talent, rich, state, not getting it done. JQ, I'm going to let you have a comment. I think that Mark Richt can just go to LSU and they can just team up against, Nick Saban and just kind of take it. But that would be fantastic.
Them two combined could be Nick Saban.
There you go. JQ, what are your thoughts about what Rob said generally about the scenario there?
He's absolutely right. It's very parallel, and I just don't think I would give Georgia more credit for it, is that they handle it from a PR standpoint a lot better, because we didn't see this coming where LSU let Les Miles kind of dangle in the wind. But he's absolutely right, and I think it's both of their inability to adapt to what's happening today in college football. He talks about Les Miles wanting to run the power eyes and the, you know, offense stuck in the 70s. But then you look at Mark Richt, and it's okay to want to run a pro style, but when you look at Dobbs going to Alpharetta and then not even recruiting him going to Tennessee, staying in the SEC. You look at Deshaun Watson and Gainesville not recruiting him, letting him go to Clemson and their number one team in the country because they didn't fit what he wanted to do as opposed to adapting to what the talent his home state was producing. He just let those guys go, and they're flourishing in other places. And I think that's part of the reason why you see the administrations in both places say, come on now, you know, you've got to adapt to the times and go with what you can do. LSU has a tremendous set of wide receivers and Fournette. If they would spread people out and not let you blow that box and get half of a quarterback, they'd be dangerous. Same thing with Georgia. If they would keep in the talent they have in state and go to a little bit more spread, and maybe not every play, but, you know, mix it in some more, they'd be dangerous, and you wouldn't have these losing streaks against Florida and against Alabama. So I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it's just an inability to adapt to the times. They have to be able to do that moving forward wherever Rick goes and then Les Miles and LSU in order to keep that job.
Wow, I thought Rob was going to say something else. Okay, he's staying quiet. Okay. Good call, Spells. We got about 10 minutes here. I definitely want to talk about Kobe before the night is over, so I'm going to save that for like 5 minutes here. Really quickly, I do want to let you hit the top five teams in college football. I'm going to start with you, JQ, right now, your top five teams in college football right now.
I mean, I think Clemson State is number one. They got a little scared with South Carolina, but I think, you know, they're still learning how to be number one, and that's a rivalry game. So, you know, it's not always going to be a blowout. Alabama, same thing with Auburn. I think stays up in there. And then you have the two at Oklahoma, a fabulous showing in Stillwater. They just totally put it to Oklahoma State on Saturday night. And then you got the two Big Ten schools in Iowa and Michigan State, I think, rounding out the top five. Notre Dame gets knocked out, so they fall by the wayside. Stanford moves up a little bit. Ohio State moves up a little bit. But I don't think either one of them have a shot at getting in unless pure chaos reigns on Saturday, which I don't see happening because I don't think Florida can even score on Alabama. But I think North Carolina might have a chance against Clemson because that North Carolina team has looked really good here coming down the stretch, but I still would take Clemson.
Rob Ford.
I agree. I think that's a scary game for Clemson, but I do think Clemson will still pull it out. But I do think that's a scary game and almost kind of unfair for Clemson. Oklahoma, in my opinion, is going to be in the top four regardless of what happens this weekend. Mm-hmm. They don't have to play any more games. But it's almost unfair that Alabama and Clemson still has to play a game to secure their spot in this Final Four, and Oklahoma does not. I think the NCAA has to do something to change that and force the Big 12 to play a championship game, just like all the other major conferences. I think they should do away with this 12 teams or more rule to play a championship game and to force all conferences to do it. Because, I mean, Oklahoma, don't get me wrong, they've been extremely impressive, and it might be playing as good as football as any team in college football right now. I know that's your boy, Bob Stoops, Andre, but, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. And, I mean, they're going to be in the Final Four regardless of what happens this weekend, but Clemson and Alabama still has to play another game, which is, you know, somewhat unfair. I do expect both of them to still win. And then, of course, the Big Ten championship game, the winner of that will secure your last and, you know, fourth final playoff spot for this weekend. So, I think those are the top five teams in the league. I think the way it's seeded right now, those are your top five teams.
Good call.
One point real quick, Dre. But the thing about it is I don't think you have to have 12 teams. I think that's a misnomer from what I've heard, is that you have to petition the NCAA to get a championship game with just 10 teams. Wow, Baltimore. And also, the Big 12 also plays nine conference games where the other ones only play eight, I believe. So there's a little bit of a misnomer in what's happening there. But the ability to sit home while they play and you're done, I do agree, is a little bit unfair. But they do play that ninth conference championship game.
Well, yeah, they play nine games, but they play 12 regular season games. They're not playing that 13th championship game, and that's what I would still like for them to be forced to do. You know, force Oklahoma to secure their spot in the Final Four. Where I think at this point, they deservingly so, they'll be in the top four. But if everyone else got to secure their spot, you know, let them do the same thing too.
I hear you.
Gentlemen, so
I agree with that too.
There's something crazy here. I know we got this as a subject here, a topic here, about Will Muschamp getting some consideration for South Carolina. I don't know if somebody's been hanging out in Denver or not. Is this really true, or is this just kind of speculation, Rob? Is this really, really true about Will Muschamp?
It really is true. He's a candidate for the job. South Carolina is very high on Kirby Smart, defense coordinator at Alabama. He's near the top of the list. Obviously, Kirby Smart, if I'm not mistaken, is a Georgia graduate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he is.
Play safety.
And so But I know South Carolina is very high on Kirby Smart, and also South Carolina, you know, really would like to see if they can talk to Chip Kelly as well. So I think based on our sources, those are the three guys that South Carolina is top of their list at the moment. So we'll see if anything changes going forward.
Todd Hernan, or was it Herman, is the coach for Houston, is a target for Georgia, too.
Well, he just signed an extension with Houston today, so it looked like he's going to stay. I mean, yeah,
but
he just got a raise
final.
At Houston. Yeah.
They said it wasn't final.
So, I mean, obviously, you got a chance to go to Georgia. I mean, that's a better job than Houston, but, you know, we'll see.
Yes.
But
and,
I know they just reached the deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a note on Tom Herman, when he was with Ohio State as the offensive coordinator, he was the primary recruiter for Ohio State in the Atlanta area. So that's a little nugget to throw in there, that he's familiar with recruiting in the state of Georgia because that was his primary target when he was with Ohio State.
That could be a good call, JQ. Wow. I'm still thinking that's the guy that if they don't get Kirby Smart, and, you know, Kirby Smart hasn't been a head coach yet, so you got to get the learning curve of a Will Muschamp, which may be kind of scary. He may not be the name that Georgia fans want, but I think Todd Herman is the guy that Georgia really wants. That's just kind of, for me, my vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, all right, we got to hit these because we got 4 minutes. I want to talk about Kobe really quickly. Michigan State, Iowa. What do you think about this? I know you. I'm sorry, JQ. What do you think about this? I hate to throw that to you, but what do you think about this?
Oh no, it's fine. Ohio State did it to themselves. Michigan State with Connor Cook back. I just think they have a better defense. They just have a little bit more overall talent than Iowa. And this would be the first real team that Iowa's played. I'm just gonna go with Michigan State.
Rob Ford.
I agree with that, and I've said it all season. I still think Iowa's a little overrated, but they're undefeated. They've gone through their schedule. They won every game. They rightfully deserve to be having this chance to play and prove themselves, but I think they will come up short.
Great game. North Carolina at number one. Clemson, is Clemson going to fall, Rob, or is this gonna, are they going to continue?
I think Clemson wins closer than the experts think, but I think it's a, you know, I think it's a 7 to 10 point win. I don't think it's a blowout.
JQ? Agreed. All right, really
okay.
Quickly. JQ, this is you, JQ. Kobe has announced his retirement in the season. Is he going to be received in his home? How will he be received in his hometown of Philly tomorrow?
You know what? I don't know, because Philadelphia is so crazy. I mean, they always boo him for whatever reason, like he didn't choose to come play there. But this being his last time through, and Philadelphia, the 76ers being so bad, I'm hoping that they give him the ovation that he should get that he's never gotten there really in Philadelphia. And I think you'll start to see him get a little bit more warmth as this plays out through the rest of the season. And we all have been talking about it. It's time. You know, he has no lift on his jump shot. I mean, you can only double and triple pump fake somebody, and they know you can't jump. It's just time to go. And I love Kobe. I'm a Laker fan. So I hope Philadelphia give him the props that he deserves. Hey, stop it. give him the props that he deserves.
Rob, end it with that, and you got 2 minutes to get ready to get in the show, sir.
Yeah, I've never really been a Kobe Bryant fan, but I also am a fan of the game, so, you know, you have to respect his game. And so and that being said, I think as he exits the NBA, I do think he should be honored for what he's done for the game and his play on the basketball court. So I would like to see the 76ers fans, you know, give him, you know, especially with him being a, his hometown is Philadelphia. I would like to see him give him a standing ovation just to thank him for what he's done for basketball in the league, even if you wasn't a fan of him or, you know, a Laker fan for that matter. So I would like to see give him an ovation as it goes out in this final season. With that being said, we're ending up our show. We appreciate everyone tuning in on tonight. Once again, we'll be back on next Monday night. These 45 minutes go by extremely fast. Seems like there's a lot more we can talk about, a lot more we can cover. But we'll be back on next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We'll have our college football Final Four preview on what's going to who our four teams are going to be, and we will get to that on next Monday night, so you don't want to miss the show.
We'll throw out some love for the Lakers, and we'll give JQ an opportunity to talk about his top five Lakers as well. You know, I have no time for that, too.
Ooh.
But JQ, yeah, keep that for next week, too, Rob, if you don't mind. JQ, go ahead and end this as we have a minute to go ahead and wrap this up, sir.
Oh, just want to say, not too much more to add with Rob putting there. We appreciate all the love and support, listening live and downloading the podcast. This is not possible without you guys. We do it for the love of it and for you guys tuning in and for all the fantasy stuff. And please, more callers. That was hilarious last week. You guys have a good week. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving.